Did you hand select these albums up here?
So not me personally. I kind of brought in my stack of records, and when Andy was working on putting all the stuff on the wall, Sambo 2, maybe Lethal 2. I think there was a day where I just actually wasn't here, and then they kind of started working on that, but they just started putting the stuff on the wall. I did have like a couple records. I'm like, oh, that would look really cool on the wall. Musego did that thing with the light switch on that Doomsday record, if you see what I'm talking about.
The light switch?
Yeah, how the light switch is coming out through the record, and you flick it in.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Moo did that. You could probably,
that's,
you know,
hilarious.
You could probably, most people don't even notice it's like that until you really just stare at it.
It's great the way the size of the wall works perfectly enough to get that.
Yeah.
In that spot. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then there's like a few things on there that we wish we could swap out. Like, I brought in my Donuts record from J Dilla, and I kind of want to swap it out with one of the records up there.
Which one would you take out?
Maybe the Kenny Rogers right above the Doomsday record,
doesn't Kenny Rogers have like, is he the one that like his lifetime sales rival like Michael Jackson? Is that?
I'm actually not sure.
There's a country artist that it's just ridiculous to look at it on paper.
Yeah. I don't really know too much about his discography. Either that record or the Fossil record with the flowers on it.
Have you listened to all these?
Most of them. I have a record player right here.
Oh, you do? Oh, shit. Yeah. I didn't even notice that.
I bought the record player a couple years ago. It was in my room, and then I had it connected to a speaker that I would listen to records just, like, sitting in my room during college, like, studying, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I was just hanging out, like, on my computer, I would throw on a record. It was fun for me.
Damn.
But my speaker, it was, like, a Sony speaker, it just took a shit one day. And I never bought another one, to be honest with you. So then I was like, all right, well, I never bought another speaker, so I just brought the record player in here. I'm like, oh, it fits to my studio, you know, it fits a studio vibe.
Can it still play?
Absolutely.
Oh, so. Can it plug to anything here?
Yeah, you can technically connect it to like one of the monitors or both monitors there.
I mean, not right now.
Yeah,
but,
I don't think.
But just the.
Have you done it before in here?
Not in here, no. It's just like the space isn't necessarily. Like, we don't have, the space isn't the bed. Like, we don't have enough. We would have to put, like, an extension on that desk and put the record player there or something like that. Because that thing is, like, bulky. Now it just kind of is used as a stand for all sorts of knickknacks, unfortunately. But, I mean, it's all right. It works, and hopefully it gets some use sometime. Gotta get another speaker.
I have a Ready to Die album, I think.
Yeah.
You have Divine? No, you have,
No, or is it Life After Death?
Well, you have,
I have...
The MF Doom project. The Cooking Soul Christmas.
Yeah, I
still have that.
Yeah.
I still have it in my room.
I remember when you...
We do.
Cooking Soul.
Yeah. I want to listen to that.
A good project.
Yeah.
On vinyl.
Yeah,
it's a great project.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you actually put me on to Cooking Soul after you showed me that.
He's so good.
I remember when he had like that tape barely like had like 20 something thousand views and you had come across it, maybe a little bit more or something. Mm. And then after he just like popped off. Crazy popped off.
So I was relatively early. I can't claim that.
You were relatively early. I remember it like it was yesterday. This was a long time ago.
I was definitely early to that particular mix that he did.
Yes.
like when it came out, I think everyone in the comment section knew instantly this mix is timeless. Like this is yeah. We're gonna be listening to this every year. That's how I felt when Jeremiah and Chance were doing those Christmas albums.
Yeah.
Like, I wish they did more. I think they will do more.
I don't know.
He's about to release a new project. I think he just released a song.
Chance or Jeremiah?
Chance. He just released a song called... I'm gonna hate myself for not remembering. It's like, it's at the tip of my tongue. Might be like Crashing Out or something.
I was gonna say, if that last project he did was the last thing he ever released, what a way to go out.
Oh, yeah, I heard, my sister showed me an article that apparently he's divorcing his wife.
I love my wife. I'm divorcing my wife. All right, this is the comeback album, baby.
I think he talks about all that in this song.
Is he going to be toxic like Future now on
this
project?
I can't remember the name of the song. I need to bust out. We need like a screen, and then we need to be able to pull
it wrong?
Jamie, pull that.
Is it wrong to say that Chance, you should have just kept doing drugs and making music, bro?
He might go back to it.
But you know, I'm sure as an artist, you know, you want to tell your story, and, you know, I think music in general is mostly love songs. Like, mostly. I've listened to a wide variety of music, and in almost every genre, it's about love. It's about love. Either breaking up, falling in love, or somewhere in between. You know? Maybe a few years later, you remember the person that you used to love, or something like that. And I understand that influential subject matter that every single person both recognizes, empathizes with, and also artistically feels the need to create. But sometimes, you know, with projects like Acid Rap, you know, sometimes I like it when they just go off and just talk about all these wide variety of different things in a wide variety of different ways. And I think Acid Rap and that sort of feeling like a trip and that sort of, you know, I don't know if he actually did acid to do the thing.
He definitely did.
Technically speaking, let's say that Cocoa Butter Kisses, you know, that's about like, you know, his mom or something like that. You know, that's still kind of a sort of love song, but I think the creative angle that you come from when you just do some drugs and make some music, I think it beats the most commonplace "I love my wife" trope.
Have you ever heard?
I think you find a different way of saying it without necessarily saying it, or you just whatever happened last time. Let's not do that again. So
how many songs do you know of that are about marriage?
A lot. Well, actually, most songs don't talk about, from what I've listened to, it doesn't feel like they're talking about marriage. Like, yes. Usually you'll find marriage.
It's a byproduct.
Right.
Like the main focal point. I feel like when you're talking about marriage, it's usually in accordance with something else you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the focus point of the song.
Right. Because, like, I've noticed that, like, love songs don't necessarily talk about marriage.
Yeah.
They just talk about love.
It's all about
the emotion of love. They don't talk about marriage.
Yeah.
You know, you'll most likely find maybe a song about marriage.
Unless it's like a dedicated wedding song.
You know what I'm talking about? Like it'll most likely be a wedding song, maybe a song from a female. I'm thinking a female R&B artist or an R&B, or just a female singer. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to find her talking about marriage and that sort of fantasy of that. I mean, not to generalize, but
I'm just making But
you'll probably
noticing. Yeah.
You'll probably hear people talk about marriage in certain in terms of like, yeah, you know, like it's probably from the guy's side, from hip hop, you'll probably hear about marriage only when they're saying like, "Girl, I'd marry you," something like that. Mm-hmm. But they're never gonna be.
Yeah, it's
like a declaration of how much they like you at the moment. Yeah,
I think he actually stumbled upon you. Like a hip hop faux pas, where it's like no one ever on Wax talked the way he talked in the Big Day and made like the whole album about that. It felt like it was maybe a little corny.
I mean, it definitely was corny, and I don't even know if marriage is a faux pas to discuss.
It's look at the way Kanye talks, even though he's been married multiple times.
I don't think the topic of marriage in tracks like that is the cringy part or, you know, the mm-hmm. uncomfortable part. I think it's the way it was presented.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think just like listening to it, the way it was presented, the unoriginal or, you know, the flows themselves just weren't there. His vocal inflections just going all over the place, and the beat selection, half of it was garbage. I don't know, man.
It felt like...
And then there was Hot Shower.
Yeah.
Something about it felt inauthentic. Like, he was going on this whole gospel trip, right? Which I think was a good path, because we were getting songs like Father Book. Stretch My Hands, and getting Coloring Book and different things like that. But then, like, you know, given now that we know that they got divorced, it felt like the emotions he was expressing about the Big Day, right, felt a little forced. Yeah.
You know what it feels like? It feels like, not to come at people, but why not? It feels like you're watching an Instagram of a couple, but like it's one of those couples on Instagram that constantly have to post and let you know that like they're in love, they're madly in love, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? And that's what it felt like on Wax.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's. The problem with that is it's on Wax, just like it's on the internet, right? Until they delete their whole thing. You can't delete this project, and we heard you.
Unless you want to pull a J. Cole.
Right.
And take it off streaming services.
But we'll never forget. We know. We'll never remember.
I'm actually excited for this project he has coming out, though.
J. Cole? I think
not J. Cole. Chance.
I hope it's good.
Yeah,
I might be more excited for Chance's project than I am for J. Cole.
I think J. Cole needs to change the. I think The Fall Off is a perfect title for a project for post what has occurred.
Post what has occurred.
I mean, seriously. Like, you have you've been saying The Fall Off. I'm like, oh man, the poetry's right there. You know, the way people are now, like, the fall off.
You think it's projection when art, like, imitates reality like that? Because he said he did the whole mic delete later, and then he actually deleted a song from it.
His next project is called The Fall Off, and then he made a move that kind of feels like, to people, he's falling off.
Having J. Cole as a feature on Future and Metro's second project was funny as fuck.
That was weird.
That verse was an older verse that was recorded.
No doubt.
But they still had decided.
Yeah, to why not?
Include that, which was just funny timing.
Yeah, they did that. They did that shit on purpose.
For sure.
They just did that on purpose.
That wow fact on that track, Red Leather. That was funny as fuck. And I mean, with the way that J. Cole in this whole situation kind of got brushed off by everybody between Kendrick, and then Drake was like, I didn't even fuck with your shit, like, get out of here. And J. Cole's just sitting there like, okay.
I actually think in the long run, J. Cole made the better move. It's not, it doesn't look good for now, but I think in the long run...
By deleting the track?
Well, not even by deleting it, but I think the way he said it, the way he said what he said, on his Dreamville concert or festival, the way he said what he said, and then what he was saying about, like, because in my opinion, what I heard, I didn't hear him apologize for dissing Kendrick. He sounded like he's like, I don't actually believe, like, the words that I just clearly said to this person on track, saying, first of all, which is the one thing, and I was right, the one thing that J. Cole said in that entire diss track that I thought wasn't true, or was, it was just nonsense, ludicrous. It's like, you know, your second project, or something like that, your second project was trash, or something like that, or overrated. I'm like, okay, so are you starting off in Section 80 and saying Good Kid, Mad City was trash and we overrated it? Or are you starting off in Good Kid, Mad City and saying To Pimp a Butterfly was trash and we're overrated?
Either way, you're
dead wrong. And the thing is, as an artist, and I think this is why I liked J. Cole, or I understood what he said when he was saying that, as an artist, he knew in his own soul that ain't true.
Yeah.
Both To Pimp a Butterfly and The Good Kid, M.A.A.D. City are ridiculously good projects.
The problem is...
And he doesn't... The thing is, sorry, very specifically, he was saying, I don't actually dislike this nigga and I don't want to play into this.
Yeah.
But it's not... My assessment. Hip-hop is mostly brag. Brag and love songs. It's brag. Braggadocio, braggadocio, braggadocio. Everybody across the board. I'm the greatest. I'm the best. I'm the richest. I'm the most handsome. I can get all the girls and your girl.
Yeah.
It's all brag, brag, brag. The problem is, J. Cole, when he's bragging, he's playing in the game of hip hop. He's playing in the game of MCs and bars. Talk your shit, like, you know, really speak. You know, like, you know, boast yourself up. The problem is, braggadocio has a real rule in the real world. When you brag and somebody calls you on your brag, you have to defend said brag.
Yeah.
You have to. Like, that's a rule that's beyond just that play that we have in hip-hop where people are going at each other or people are boasting about themselves. There's a level of brag that's just true. So if I brag about something a lot, and then you come up and you say, prove it. I'd look like a real jackass if I couldn't. I'd be, I was just kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, then you're, you know, like, it just looks weird. That was underneath. And that, I think, is what people were just like, nonsense.
A lot of the younger rappers do that. That rule kind of flew out the window past that generation of who we're talking about right now.
Perhaps.
Underneath, they don't give a shit. I mean, even if you just reference, like, the smallest thing about what Lil Tecca said about when he blew up, you know, Lil Tecca died.
Right, well, yes.
He went on that interview,
yes,
he's like,
yes,
yeah, most
yeah,
of the stuff I said just wasn't true.
True. Know. Well,
I think that's going to be a problem later, though.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's still going to affect you.
It's going to affect you.
It's still going to affect you.
You're still trying to be a hip-hop artist.
Right, because
as long as you're hip-hop, these rules matter.
I mean, like, if you, this is why self-awareness is important. If you approach, let's say, like, Lil Dicky and you have, like, hey, just a, because you know, it, like, it's almost like a disclaimer. I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Or this is comedy. None of this shit is real. Or you, Eminem is a great example of this. You think Eminem, half the lyrics he said was true? No.
No.
But he approaches it in a way that lets you know that everything I'm about to say is utterly ridiculous. But the beauty of Eminem in those early years, it's like there's poetry underneath, like I'm saying, all these, it's just like, it's like he's revealing himself, but he's saying all these preposterous scenarios.
Yeah.
You know? What line? I'll slit your motherfucking throat worse than Ron Goldman. You think Eminem's gonna slit your throat worse than Ron Goldman? No, he ain't gonna do that. But like, he's playing up that crazy.
Yeah,
he's playing up that crazy.
I think he said something about throwing a hamster in a microwave.
Yeah,
but like,
I think you're allowed to exaggerate.
You're allowed to exaggerate. Yeah,
but if the foundation of where that intention is coming from is untrue, people are gonna call you out on it.